Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Zayin. We begin five lines from the top with the words Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, continuing discussing the din of Pruzbol. So Rav Yehuda's name is Shmuel. Yesalmim, children that Nebuch lost their parents, and now they have debts that are due to them from the estate, and the Shemitah year is coming to an end, and the end of the Shemitah year, as we've discussed, normally would have Hashmatas Ksofim, the debts wouldn't have to be paid back. Unless you make a prosbol. So Yehuda said, name of Shmuel, that Yisomim, these orphans from the estate, ain't Tzrichim prosbol. They're allowed to collect their debts even without a prosbol. Likewise, Uchein Tani Rami Barachoma. Rami Barachoma said the same thing as Yehuda and Shmuel. Yisomim ain't Tzrichim prosbol. The Yisomim don't need to write a prosbol. And why is that? Because the Rabban Gamliel, Ubeis Dino, Avien, Shel Yisomim. Rabban Gamliel and his basin were considered like the fathers of the Yisomim. In other words, they took care of the Yisomim and essentially enacted that it's all of their properties were allowed to be collected, all their debts were still allowed to be collected as if a prosbul is written. Rashi says over here, Masu ben Leo, Ubeis Dino, Kolomar, Nisiyeh Yisrael, Shemuchol Dor V'Dor. It didn't literally mean only Rabban Gamliel and Ubeis Dino. It meant that all of them, in each generation, the leaders of the Beis Din, they enacted this. Rashi explains in the next Rashi, Avin Shal Yisomim, O Memunim Aleim Al Mamonim. They're in charge, so to say, of the money of the orphans. And it's as if, Vahayu Shtaros saying, it's as if all of their Shtaros were Kimisur in the Beis Din, has been handed over to the Beis Din. Why did it mention Rabban Gamliel specifically? Ubeis Dino, Hodinakat Rabban Gamliel, Shia Beis Dino Kayim Vinoeg Kishinish Nish Misnazu. He was the lead authority at the time that this Mishnah was written. And likewise, the Hadarami Barachama Brisi, that which Rami Barachama brought down was a Brisa, so that's why those names were specifically mentioned over here. But this was true in every generation. And as Rashi says in an earlier Rashi, Ain't Shvichim Prisbul, because Ain't Shvius Mishametes Chov Shalaviyim Hames, because the rabbis basically enacted that they wouldn't need to go and write a Prisbul, it was if the Prisbul was written. Okay, now we learn in the Mishnah, Tanan Hotsom, Sevishtin Shvius, Ain't Kosvin Prisbul El Alakarka. When you write a prosbul, so the person who lent the money, so he writes the prosbul, and the person who receives the money, he has to go and have karka in order for this prosbul to work. And im ein lo, if he doesn't have karka, so then mizakeyu biso sodeyu kolshu. Then the one who lent the money, so to say, gives him a piece of karka. He's mizaka on his behalf, a piece of karka, in order that the prosbul can take effect. Now, why do you need to have karka? So Rashi explains, Diba Maschal al Karka, Im Yesh Karka Lelova, the one who's borrowing the money has to have Karka, because Delo Tiknu Elabisman Shachov Kishar Rov Shtoros, Sheheni Govim Min HaKarka. That most people, it was a Dover Shriach, that most people who borrowed money had Karka that they would use basically as collateral. It was clear that if the person couldn't pay back the loan, okay, there's always the karka to go get your loan from. The heavy milsa de shlicha, that was the normal way. Kadimino kama duchte, as it's written many places in Shas, de bemilsa de lo shlicha lo ovud rabbonon takanta. The rabbis only made takanos on commonly occurring things. They didn't make takanos, or they didn't make statements about things that rarely occurred. So since the vast majority of lovim, of borrowers, had karka, so they established this prosbul with the assumption that the lover will have karka. And if the lover doesn't have karka, technically you can't make a prosbul. So therefore, you would be mezaka some karka to the lover in order that he would be able to have the prosbul made against him. Rashi continues, says, V'avapi she'eno shove kol achov. Now, this karka, this little bit of karka, the Gemara's going to say in a moment, how much karka do you have to give him? So it's a very small amount. So it's not going to be worth the chov. So he lent him $1,000, and his piece of karka is worth $10. So obviously, that karka isn't really collateral. It's not really going to pay back the loan in case the person can't pay back the loan. So the Gemara says, Rashi explains, as we're going to learn, karka koshu, even a small amount is good. So amar afilu melo machat, even the size of a machat, of a needle, so gova melo kardam. As we've learned previously, that even with a small amount, you can continuously collect. So you collect first that little bit of karka, and then the lova will buy it back, and then you'll collect from it again, you'll buy it back, collect from it again, you'll buy it back. Kemaise, the ketina dabai, as we learned earlier in the Masech, that we had from Gemara and Ksubas, where there was an outstanding debt of 100, but those karka was worth 50. So they took the 50 to pay back the debt, and then they bought it back, the Bali Chov bought it back, and then they recollected again from that 50. So therefore, that's called the Maisei de Ketina de Abai, a small piece of land from the case of Abai. Tosos, and the top Tosos gives another Teretz and the Rabbeinu Shmuel, and he says, Mishum de karka kolshu shove kol hachov, de eino no lekarkos, because technically that little bit of karka could be worth the entire debt, because karka doesn't have the concept of cheating with it. So you could say objectively this karka is only worth 50 on the open market, but you're willing to pay 200 for it because it's right next to your karka or any other reasoning for this, and therefore the karka doesn't have ono, and therefore it could be shove like the entire debt. Okay. So now the Gemara says, the kama koshu, how much is this small piece of land that you have to go and be mezaka to the lova in order for the prusbul to work? So we have several statements. Amar Rechia, Barashi, Amar Rav, Rechia, Barashi, said the name of Rav, Afilu Kelach Shel Kruv, even a very, very small piece of land, the size of a stalk of a kruv, of a cabbage. In other words, a very small piece. Amar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says even a small amount. Afilu Hishir Mokum L'Taner L'Chirayim, even he only left him a place to put his Taner and Kirayim on, so then, kosin ola prusbul. Then that also is acceptable to write a prusbul. Here he doesn't even own the land. He just has the right to use the land. So he just put his tanner and kiraim over there. That is also enough to write the prusbul on. More questions. This is really? Ini? Is that really the case? Vatani hila. The hila over here is not hila lazokin. Rashi tells us this is hila the Amora. So hila the Amora says, ain kosin prusbul elo al otzis nokov bilvad. That if you're writing a prusbul on land, it has to be, and if it's in a flower pot, it has to be a flower pot that has a perforation in it, so it's halachically considered connected to the ground. So that statement of hila implies nokov in, only if it has a perforation in it, so it's considered halachically connected to the ground, is it considered a valid piece of land that you could write a prusbul against it, implication being, she'enu nokov, if the flower pot doesn't have a perforation in it, so then, lo, then the hole, if there's no hole in the flower pot, so then that's not considered karka. Now, if you're in fact saying that as long as you have the right to put your tanur and kirayim on the ground, that's enough to write a prusbul, so here, don't you have the right to put the flower pot on the ground? So that flower pot, even though it doesn't have a neck of it, if it doesn't have a perforation, a hole in it, nevertheless, the place that you're putting it down on, that should satisfy what Rav Yehuda said. But Hillel, the Amora, said, no, that's not good. So Gemara says, Amai v'ikom mekomo. So why isn't that good? After all, can't you put the flower pot down, even though it's not perforated, on the ground? And if you have the rights to use that ground, that should be, according to Yehuda, good for the prusbul. So why does this not work? So Gemara says, Lo tzricha. Here we're talking about the manach asiche. It is, in fact, not on the ground. It is on these various types of posts. As Rashi says, Agabi yesedos. It's on these various types of posts, which most of the mefarshim say don't belong to the person. Then a karka shalo. And therefore, the post nor the karka are his. And therefore, hilkach nor if it has a perforation, and even if it's above the ground, it's considered halachically ground. Heavy kimuchubar, it's like connected to the ground, and that would satisfy the requirement of the prusbul to have karka. However, if it doesn't have perforations in it, so then it's not considered halachically connected to the ground, and kan karka, and therefore, since it's on this yesod, and you don't own the yesod, so therefore, you're not using the ground, and it's not connected to the ground, and that's why Hillel said that that would not be good for a prusbul. Mark continues and says, Ravashi maknele gidmo didikla. In order to satisfy this requirement that the lova have some sort of karka, Ravashi, when he did the loan, so he would also give over gidmo didikla. Rashi says, gidmo is a geza. It's like a shoot of a dekel that is kotsus by geza mechubel arts. He would give him over a stump over here, a dekel shoot that was cut off, so like a tree trunk that was cut off, and it was still attached to the ground, Rashi says, I guess, and on this, that would be sufficient karka because of a lay prusbul, and Ravashi would write a prusbul based on the lova owning this small amount of ground, this gidmo de dikla. Rabbanon, the Ravashi, the Chachamim in Ravashi's base medrash, so Mosre Milayu Ladodi. They didn't even bother writing a prusbul. They just officially handed over all their debts one to the other, and they, in this way, got around having to even have karka because they were being Mosre to the base. And Ravashi says, below Kasivas prusbul, Elo Kachomar Lechaverim. Each one said to the other, Hare Atem Basin, your function is a basin. And I'm handing over my debts to you, and this way there's no lo yigos. I'm not going and asking the person who I owe the money to after the Shemitah for my debt back, but the Beis Din is, and the Beis Din doesn't have this problem of Hashmatas Ksofim, and therefore that's how they would work it. Rav Yonason would do this with Rav Chiya Bar Abba and would hand over the debt via this just words. So, Amalei, so he asked, "Tzrichno midi achrina? Do I have to do anything else?" Rabbi Yonasan says, "Is that enough?" When he gave it over to Rabbi Baraba, he gave it over. Is that anything else that I have to do? I don't have karka. So he said, "No, I'm a lo tzrichas. That's enough. All you have to do is do it in this fashion, and then you can still collect the debt." Talmud Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa: "Ain lo karka if the lova has no karka, but there's a guarantor of the loan. So Reuven lends Shimon money, and Shimon doesn't have anything to guarantee it, but Levi will guarantee that loan to Reuven on behalf of Shimon. So he's an Arev, he's a guarantor. So if Shimon doesn't have any karka, but Levi has karka, the Arev, Yeshlo karka, also goes in a love prosbul. That's enough to write a prosbul on it. What happens if neither of them have karka? Lo vil orev. Neither Shimon nor Levi. Shimon the borrower, Levi the guarantor. Neither of them ain lam karka. Neither one of them has any karka. Vilachayav lo yeshlo karka. But there is a third party over here. There is a Yehuda who owes Shimon money, and he does have karka. Vilachayav lo yeshlo karka. So Shimon is borrowing money, but he also has people that owe him money. He has someone who owes him money, Yehuda, and Yehuda has karka. So then, also, kosen lo prusbo mi de Rabbi Nosson, based upon the famous Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson, so you're allowed to go and write this prusbo, even though Shimon, nor his guarantor Levi, neither of them have karka, but since the person who owes Shimon money does have karka, Yehuda, so therefore, through this Shibudu of Nasa, which we'll explain again in a moment, so therefore you can write a prosbul based upon the karka that Yehuda has because he owes it to Shimon. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Nosson Omer, this is the famous Shibudu of Rabbi Nosson, Minayin Lenosha Bechavero Moneh, Bechavero, Bechavero. If Reuven in this situation is lending money to Shimon, and Shimon had previously lent money to Yehuda, so Bechavero, Bechavero, each of them has a connection to the other one. Shimon owes Reuven, but Yehuda owns Shimon in my scenario. How do we know that Yehuda can directly pay Reuven? He can, so to say, bypass Shimon. So let's say Reuven lends Shimon $100 and Shimon had lent Yehuda $100. Now, bottom line is, Yehuda owes Shimon $100, but Shimon owes Reuven $100. So therefore, Reuven can collect the $100 directly from Yehuda. And that will satisfy all the debts. How do we know that that's acceptable? This is called the Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson. Talmud Lomar, the Nosson Lasher Osham Lo. You'll give it to the one who is Osham Lo. In other words, you'll give it to the one that you owe. So therefore, in this scenario, since Yehuda owes Shimon money, and Shimon now owes Reuven money, so even though Shimon doesn't have karka, nor does his guarantor Levi have karka, since Yehuda has karka, that's enough to write the prosbul law, because technically Reuven can collect from Yehuda, and therefore there is karka involved, and therefore you can write the prosbul based upon Yehuda's karka in my scenario, the Shibuda, the Rabbi Nosson. Okay, now we learned that the Mishnah Shvi is, another mission they said, Tanan Hasam Hashvius Mishametis Es Hamilve, Bein Bishtar Ubein Shelo Bishtar. The Shemitah works in this situation to be Mishametis Es Hamilve. It knocks aside the Milve, Midah Raisa, whether there is a Shtar or whether there isn't a Shtar. Now, what exactly does this mean? We'll have two interpretations what this means. The first one is Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, both Rav Shmuel said, when it said in this Mishnah, Bishtar, it meant Shtar Shiesh Bo Achrayus Nechosim. This Shtar has written into it that if the loan is not repaid, then there is a Shibud on the Nechosim. And when it said Shelo Bishtar, it meant Bishtar She'ein Bo Achrayus Nechosim. It meant with a Shtar that didn't specify that there's Achrayus Nechosim. And technically there is no lien on those properties. So that's what Rav Shmuel say when the Mishnah said Bein Bishtar, Bein Shelo Bishtar. It didn't mean that there was no document at all. It meant the document that had Achrayus written to it versus a document that didn't have Achrayus written into it. And in both of them, the Shmitas Kesafim would not allow either of those two to be collected at the end of the Shemitah Yim, Midaraisa, neither of those two loans, even though there was a Chayis and Chosim in one of the loans, would be allowed to be collected. And certainly, you don't even have to tell us, certainly if there was just an oral loan, Reuven lends Shimon money, and with no document at all, certainly that the Shemitah is Mishametis. So according to Rav Shmuel, the Shemitah is Mishametis everything, certainly an oral loan, but even a written loans, whether there's achrayis, and if there is achrayis, the Shemitah is mishametes such a loan, even with achrayis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Shemitah is mishametes everything. Whereas Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon, Rav Lakish, Amri Tavayo Dei, both said the following. They disagreed with Rav Shmuel in the case of a loan that has a chrayis written into it. And therefore, they interpret the Mishnah. When it said bishtar, it meant shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechosim. The only time the Shemitah is mishametis a shtar is if the shtar doesn't have a chrayis written into it. There's no shibur on the karka. And when it said shalom bishtar, it meant exactly what it sounds like. Milva al peh. It meant an oral loan. So therefore, according to Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon, the only types of things that the Shemitah is mishametis is an oral loan or a shtar that doesn't have a chrayis. However, avol shtar sheyesh bo achrayis, if there is a shtar that has inside of it written down the lien on the karka, the shibur on the karka written into the shtar, so then this is a shtar sheyesh bo achrayis. Shtar sheyesh bo achrayis nechosim eino mishamed. It is not mishamed. So Rabbi Shmuel say even a shtar that has achrayis nechosim written into it is mishamed, whereas Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon say a shtar that has achrayis nechosim written into it is not mishamed. That's the difference between the two. And now the Gemara has a brisa in support of Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Rish Lakish. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Lakish. What is that? The brisa says shtar chov mishamed v'im yesh bo achrayis nechosim eino mishamed. Oh, a plain shtar. It doesn't have achrayis written into it. It doesn't have the achrayis nechosim written into it. Is mishamed. However, a shtar that does have achrayis nechosim written into it is not mishamed. Oh, this brayso is exactly like the shita of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tanya Yidach, we have another brayso. Siem lo soda achas bihalva also. If Reuven lend Shimon money and Shimon puts into the document and he says, this field will be the field that you'll collect your loan from, so then, ain't a mishamed. Oh, exactly like Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Furthermore, v'lo, oh, not only that, el afilu kosav kol nechosai achroin v'arvoin loch. If he writes down, not a specific field, but all of my karka, all of my land, is meshubet to you, so then also, ain't a mishamed. Again, a second brisa, exactly like Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Maisa Shoya, Kreve the Rav Asi, there was a relative of Rav Asi, Havelei Haushtaru, who had a shtar, the Havak Sibbe Achrayis Nechosim. And this shtar had Achrayis Nechosim in it. So again, according to Rav Shmuel, it would be Mishamit. According to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it would not be Mishamit. Now, also, Lekami the Rav Asi, this relative came to his relative Rav Asi, and Amalei Mishamit, Oeinu Mishamit. No. Shemitah is coming up. Is this shtar going to be uncollectible, even though it has a chrayis nechosim written into it, or not by the Shemitah? Will the Shemitah be mishametis? So Rav Asi responds to his relative, Amalei, ain't a mishamet. He held like Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon Lakish that no, the Shemitah will not be mishamet, the shtar sheyesh bo achrayis nechosim. Okay, so Shovke, he left his relative Rav Asi, and he went himself, he also the Kamei of Yochanan, to ask him the same question. Why he did that, the Gemara doesn't explain. He was just talking with Rav Asi, and now he went for an official psak to Rav Yochanan. So Amalei, Rav Yochanan tells him, surprisingly, Mishamed, Kineged, Hishita. He said, no, the Shemitah year will knock off this shtar from being able to be collected, even though it has written into it, Achrayis Nechosim. He was very surprised at this. Also, Rav Asi lekami Rav Yochanan. When this relative told Rav Asi what Rav Yochanan paskin, Rav Asi was shocked. So Rav Asi went to Rav Yochanan and he asked him, Amalei, no, in this situation, did my relative ask correctly? Did you paskin? Mishamed, wait a mishamed. He asked you, is this shtar that has achrayis nechosim in it, is it mishamed or not mishamed? And Rav Yochanan, what did you say? Amalei, so Rav Yochanan told him, mishamed, yeah, it is mishamed. Shemitah's suffer will take effect exactly like Rabbi Shmuel said, and not like Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish said. So Rav Yochanan seems to have switched positions. And he said, yes, the Shemitah will be Meshamed, this shtar that has Achrayis Nechosim written in it. So Rav Asi is shocked. He says, wait a second, Rebbe, V'amaru. Rav Asi was the first generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael, and he was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan. V'amaru, the Amor, Eino Meshamed. But wait a second. You said that you and Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, you hold that it's not Meshamed. So what happened over here? So Amalei, so Rav Yochanan responds back to him, V'chi mipnei sh'anu medamim, because we think this is the right answer. We have made a calculation that it should be mishamet only if there's no achrayis nechosim, but we feel that it should not be mishamet if there's achrayis nechosim. Now, we didn't hear this from our Rebbeim. As Rashi says in Dibra Maslu Medamim, Nira Beinenu, this sounds to us like the right thing. U'kimidumim anu, when it appears to us, Cain. However, v'lo shemanu rebbe say no, we didn't hear this, so we should go now. V'chim ibnei shonu medamim nasim ma'isa. Rashi says lohotzi mamono biyadaim. We should go and allow Reuven to collect on this debt after the Shemitah because we think it's the right thing to do. So that's what Rav Yochanan told Rav Asi. Rav Asi said, but you have a brisa like you, on a lay, but Tanya, Kavase, Demar. But there were two brises that we brought down that are in support of Yeshita. So I'm a lay. So Rav Yochanan, again, in pure honesty, Rav Yochanan easily could win this argument by saying, yes, you're 100% right, brisa, Tanya, Kavase, and we win. He says, no, the brisa may not be la halacha, because Rav Yochanan said back to Rav Asi, Dilma, Hai Beishamahi. Maybe that price is the opinion of Beishamai. Rashi brings down, this was something we learned just not that long ago in Sota, in Masechta Sota, which said, Meizu Baalehim, Ashalo Shasu. The women were accused of being a Sota, and they were going to drink the waters, but then their husband passed away. So now, they're not allowed to drink the Mei Sota. So what's going to happen with the Ksuba? Are they entitled to the Ksuba or not? So Beishamai said, Omrim, note those Ksubasan, the Lo Shosos. They do not drink the Mei Sota, but nevertheless, they're allowed to go collect the ksuba. Why is that? Because, back to the Gemara, because Doma Haye Beishamahi, the Amre Shtar Omid Legavos, Kigavui Domi. A shtar that is waiting to be collected is considered as if already collected. So therefore, according to Beishamahi, the Brises that say that Eino Meshamin is because they consider the shtar with Achrayis and Chosim in it as if it's already been collected. But that's only the opinion of Beishamai. So therefore, we never heard this from a Rabbeim. We think that's the right answer. And Beishamai, in fact, says that that's the right answer. But Beisilo disagrees. And therefore, we don't really have a Tanya Kavosei, the Rav Yochanan, Rav Shimon Lakish, that we paskin like. And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa, even though we think we're right, the bottom line is that Shemitah is Meshametis until we have a Kabbalah. That, in fact, the din is like us. So then we have to paskin like Rabbi Shmuel and not take money from this Lova and give it to the lender without having a airtight raya or a kabbalah that is the case. Marketing says Tananot. We learn another mishnah in Shvi is Hamalva es chavero mos al hamashkon. If a person lent money, Reuven lent money to Shimon, and there's collateral there, there's a mashkon, or v'hamos there's the rust of the basin. As we already learned, if you hand over your documents to the basin, even if there is no karka ein mishamten, then there is no shmitas ksofim by the end of the shmitah year. Now, Bishlama Mosesh the Russell Beistin, because the Tofsil Hubedina, because the Beistin holds those debts and they're not over Lo Yigos, and therefore you can collect that debt after the Shemitah. Ella, Malva Mashkon, my timer, based upon what we just said, so even though there's Achrayis Nechasim, so how can you go collect over here? Why isn't the Shemitah going and being Mishametis? Here there's a Mashkon, or there was Achrayis Nechasim in the Shtar. Why does the Shemitah Mishametis? So Amarava, Mishum Dif Tofasle, because the person, Reuven, has this mashkon already in his possession. So he lent Shimon money, and he took the collateral. So the collateral is in his possession. So therefore, it is true in this situation as if it's already govui, as if the debt was already govui. And therefore, the Shemitah can't be mishametis, a debt that has already been paid back. That's what Rava said, and Abai questions this. Amalei Abai says to Rava, Ella, based upon what you're saying, Me'ata now, Hilvo, if in fact Reuven lent Shimon money, and now Reuven is collateral, so to say, and to pay back the loan, is living in property that Shimon has. So Ella Me'ata, Hilvo, V'dor B'chatzero, D'tofeslei. So Reuven has essentially grabbed a piece of Shimon's property, and is living there, and now the Shemitah comes. Are you telling me, Hochanami Delo Mishamet, since he's grabbed this collateral, he's living on Shimon's property, so therefore the loan is not Mishametes? Is that really true? That's not the halacha. The loan is Mishamet in that situation. So Amalei, so Rabbi says back to Abaye, you know why? That's different. Shiny Mashkon Dekoni Le Mid Rabbi Yitzchok, because this is something that he is acquired based upon what Rabbi Yitzchok said. What did Rabbi Yitzchok say? Dam Rabbi Yitzchok. Minayin LeBalchov Shekona Mashkon. How do we know that the Balchov is actually Kona the Mashkon? Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Ulucho Tiet Stoka. You borrow, the classic case is you borrow money and you give your pajamas over as collateral. And then you need your pajamas to sleep at night. So is a mitzvah, l'cho tiet staka, that the person who has your collateral, has your pajamas, should give you back the pajamas every night and you can go and sleep in them. That's a classical example of this. So l'cho tiet staka teaches us that you actually own it. So a mashkun is different, because otherwise what would it be at staka that you give back the pajamas? The one who lent the money has a mitzvah to give back the pajamas. So imeinu kona, if he doesn't really own them, so why do we say it's staka minayin? Why is it at staka to give it back? It's not yours. So it must be that you actually own it. Mikan. And here we see, Lebal Chov Shekona Mashkon. This is truly that he's gove it. So in this situation, with a Mashko, so he's actually kone it. And therefore, with a mashkon, if a person has hamalbes chaveru mos ala mashkon, so ain mishamtit. That's different than the case that Abaye brought down. A person just lives in that area. That's not a mashkon. There is no lechorti yet stuck in that situation, and that's different. He's not really kone that, and therefore the regular rules of hashmatas k'sofim apply. But with a mashkon, it's different. It's actually considered gavui. Not only according to Beis Shammai, it's considered gavui according to everybody based upon the pasuk lechorti yet stucka, and therefore that's why it is not mishametes if you have a mashkon. Okay. Tonight also we're learning another Mishnah Shvius, and we turn to Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. It says Hamachzir Chov L'Chaveru B'Shvius. If a person goes and pays back the Chov B'Shvius in the Shmita year. Now, the simple understanding over here, Rashi explains on top. Rashi is Bizman. There's a printing error over here. It should be Bizman Shashvius Noheges. It's talking about during the days when Shvius is Noheg Mida Araisa. So Shuzman Shashvius no Heges, the overall of Shvius. And now it's at the conclusion of the Shemitah year. The way we paskin, as Rashi brings down, is Ein Shvius Mishamet Selabisofa. As we pointed out several times, there is an opinion that says that the start of the Shemitah year is when the Shemitah Sofim takes effect, and there are people that write a prosbul at the start, before the start of the Shemitah year. However, Halach Lamaisa, we paskin Ein Shvius Mishamet Selabisofa, so the prosbul has to be written before the end of the year. So we'll just work within that framework, and therefore when it says Hamachzir Chov L'Chaveru B'Shvius, it doesn't mean during the Shemitah year, it means at the conclusion of the Shemitah year, but it's talking about years when Shemitah is no Haggis. So the Mishnah in Shvius tells us, if you go, after the Shvatus Kesofim should have taken effect, after the Shemitah year, and you want to go and collect your debt, you're not allowed to go collect it. But if the person comes to you to pay back his debt, so Reuven lent Shimon money, now there's the end of the Shemitah year, this Hashmatus Kesofim, so technically Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven back, and Reuven can't go and collect it from Shimon. But Hamachzir Chov L'Chaveru B'Shvius, Shimon wishes to go pay back that money to Reuven. So, Tzorech Shiomolo Mishamedini. So, the proper response when Shimon goes to pay back Reuven, he says, no, technically you do not have to pay me back. Mishamedini, I'm allowing this debt to be not paid back. However, V'yim Amolo Afal Pikein, if, however, Shimon says, nevertheless, I still wish to pay you back, I know, thank you, you're very nice that you're saying I don't have to pay you back, but I wish to pay you back, Yekabel Emenu, then there is no more a din of Shemitas Ksofim, and in fact, Shimon does pay Reuven back. Reuven can take the money back because the pasuk says, Shinemar, Vizeh Dvar Hashmita. It just has to be a statement saying, you don't have to pay me back, Mishamitani. But once Reuven says that to Shimon, you don't have to pay me back. If Shimon says, but I still wish to pay you back, which is the proper thing to do, he owes Reuven the money. Nobody's saying he doesn't owe Reuven the money. That's not in doubt. Shimon truly owes Reuven the money. That's 100% agreed upon by everybody, including Shimon. So when Shimon tries to pay back the debt, the first response of Reuven should be, says, no, you don't have to pay me back. Mishamedini. But if he persists, and Shimon says, but I still would like to pay you back, 100% Reuven can say, thank you very much, and take the money, because it is possible, Zedvar Hashmita. This is the words of the Shemitah, as Rashi says, Tzorech Lomar Dibor Shel Shemitah. He just has to say one time, Mishamitani, and that fulfills this Hashmatas Ksofim idea. And then when Shimon says again, please take the money, Reuven can take it. Halachically, 100% acceptable and even suggested. Now, that was the Mishnah in Shvius. Omar Rabba, Rabba adds, and he says, V'tolile Adi Omar Hachi. Now, there are two ways to understand this. The first way is like Rashi says, V'tolile. So Rashi basically says over here, the tolile means you hang him up on a tree. So you basically are allowed to say to Shimon or put Shimon up on a tree until he says on his own, Ad Amar Hochi, until he says, sure, I'd like to repay you anyway. So Reuven, in this way that Rashi understands this, says, Mishamitani, and Shimon is walking away. Oh, great, I don't have to pay him back. So according to Rashi's understanding of the Tolile, Reuven is allowed to go and hang Shimon on a tree in order to make him change his mind and say, Ava Bikain, I want to give the money to you, and then Reuven can take it. That's the way Rashi understands the Tolile. In my Yerotza Lachsabo, Yitlenu, Al Eitz, Im Gover Yodo, Adomale Ava Bikain. So you can sort of force Shimon to say the Ava Bikain. Others understand this, know that you look at him with open wide eyes, totally ene, that you look at him and you, so to say, implore him and beg him with your eyes, please pay me back. And then when he says, okay, I'll pay you back, then you can say, sure, I'll take it. That's how Rabbah understands the Mishnah in Shviyis, either like Rashi or like the other Rishon. Eitz Gabayabai questions, and he says, Kishu no sing lo. The Mishnah says, when he gives the money, when Shimon goes and gives the money to Reuven the first time, so he has to say Mishamadini. So, Al Yomar lo, b'chovi ani nosi loch. Abai says that Shimon should not say, I'm repaying my debt, because technically there is no debt. Elo, Yomar lo, Shimon should say to Reuven, you were nice to me, and therefore I want to be nice to you. Shalihain, this is my money, I technically don't have to pay you back. However, ubimatana ani nosi loch, but I wish to give you a gift, because you were nice to me. And that's the way Abai says that Shimon would have to say, the lover would have to say to the malva. So we see that this is essentially a matana and not a repayment of the debt. And therefore, how could you say, tolile adam hochi, especially like Rashi understands, very difficult, Abai says, how can you go hang him up on the tree? He doesn't owe you any money anymore. There was hashmatis ksofim. So Amalei, so Rabbi would say back to Abaye, no, tolile nami adam hochi. The Mishnah is telling us over here, no, that you are allowed to go and do this till he says, Adam Ahochi, that I'm giving it to you as a matana, not that I'm repaying it. So you hang him up on the tree, or you give him the big mournful look in the eyes and say, basically, please pay me back. One way or the other, you're not saying it, but you're implying it, like Rashi or like the other he's shown him. And the bottom line is, if that person, Shimon, the Lova, then says, sure, I'll give it to you, he's basically saying, now, I'll give it to you as a matana, because there is no debt anymore over here. Maisa Shahoya, Abba Bar Marsa, Dahu Abba Bar Minyumi. There was this person known as Abba Bar Marta. Some suggest that Marta was his mother's name, so he was known by Abba, the son of Marta, the woman, and he's also known to who Abba Bar Minyumi. He was also known as the son of his father, Minyumi. In any event, this is the same person. Hava Masik Be Rabba Zuze. Rabba had lent him money, and now Rabba, who was poor, wanted to be paid back, and the Shemitah came through. And technically, this Hashmot is Ksofim. So I see nu niale bishvias. So this Abba Bar Marto, Abba Bar Minyumi, we call him Abba. He was a tzaddik. He was a good person, and he wanted to go pay back, even though there was a shmatis ksofim. So he brought the money to Rabba to pay him back after the shmita. And Rabba said, as he's supposed to, when this Abba offered to give him the money, he said, "No, I'm a lay mishamitine. No, you don't have to pay me back. I have given up on this debt because of a shmatis ksofim." No, Abba's very happy. Shakalinu, he took back the money that he was about to give to Rabba Vazal, and he left. He mistakenly assumed that Rabba wasn't going to accept the money no matter what. He didn't know this whole discussion that we just had. Okay. So also Abaye happens to go visit his Rebbe Rabba, and Ashkei Daviotzev, and he sees that he's very sad. Rabba was poor and he needed this money, and now he lost out on this loan. He was trying to be a Baal Chesed. He'd loaned the money before the Shemitah year, and now he was losing out on this money, which was to him a big amount. So Amalei, Amai Otziv Mar. So Abaye asked his Rebbe, why is the Rebbe so sad? So he told him what happened. Amalei, Hochi Avamaisa. He told him what happened, that this Abba he lent the money to, and Abba came to pay him back, and he said, Mishamatini. And then Abba walked away instead of saying, Afa Pikein. No, Abaye takes matters into his old hand. Ozo Legabe, Abaye goes to this Abba, and Amalei says to him, what happened over there? Amtisle Zuze Lamar, did you in fact bring the money to go pay back Rabba? Was that your intention? And Amalei, in. He said, yes, he did. Now, the Tosus Rid points out that the understanding over here is Kivan Shekiem HaMitzvah, the Omar, Mishamitani. So as soon as Rabba said, Mishamitani, and that's what happened, Amalei, Umay Amaloch, what did Rabba say to you? So Amalei, Abba Bamarat Abba Bamanumi said to Abai that Rabba said, Mishamitani. So the Tosus Rid explains that he brought the money. So it's as if he had actually given over the debt, because he brought the money to give it. So therefore, in that situation, this entire process should go through. So, in other words, Abba should have said at that point, Afa Pikein. In any event, Amalei, Abaye said to Abba, Nu, V'yamrisle Afa Pikein, did you tell him, no, even though you said, Mishamitani, I still wish to pay you back? So Abba, who was an honest person, he was a big Talmud Chacham, he said, no, I didn't say that. I'm like, no, I didn't know I was supposed to say that. I assumed Rabba wasn't going to accept the money because of the Shmatis Ksofim. So Amalei, so Abaye tells him, V'i Amisle Afa Pikein Hava Shaklinu Minoch. So he said that if, in fact, you had said to Rabba, I still wish to pay you, so then Rabba would have accepted the money. No, Hashta, me is Amtinu Niale. Therefore, go back and say to him, the Emole, Afa Pikain, and see what happens. So that's exactly what happened. Ozal, Abba Bar Masa, Abba Bar Binyumi went back to Rabba, said the same thing, Afa Pikain, I wish to go and give you back the money. And Ozal, Amtinu Niale, Bamale, Afa Pikain, and Shaklinu Mine. And Rabba took the money back. Rabba needed the money. So Rabba then said, Amar, lo have a bay daita behind Suvi Rabbanu Meikari. He didn't know this. He didn't know these dinim. So Baruch Hashem, we taught him these dinim because he wanted to pay back the debt. He was an elicha person. Just because the tashwaz is suffered doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a kar satov to the person who lends you the money. And you should pay him back. Min ha-din, you don't have to. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay him back. And this is certainly the proper thing to do. So to go through this process where you bring the money, the person who lent you the money says, Mishamatini, and then the person who borrowed the money should say, V'yafa pikein, I'm going to give it to you as a matana. And that's the proper way to do it. And that's what Abaye taught this Abba Bar Marta, Abba Bar Minyumi to do. And in fact, he did it once he learned this din. Gwarkatini says, I'm a Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda said the name of Nachman, Neman Adam Lomar, a person is believed to say that he had a prosbul hayo biyadi, I did have a prosbul, the other be many, and now I can't bring it to the base to go collect. But as we said, with a prosbul, there is no hashmatuk sofim, so a person is believed to say that he had a prosbul, even though he doesn't have the ability to show it. Why? My time, why do we believe him? We don't make him swear, Tosa says, Kivan the takina rabban a prosbul, since the rabbi set up a prosbul, which is very easy to do. You just have to have two people to say that you're handing it over to the Beis Din. So you just need two witnesses. So since it's so easy to make a prosbul, kivin takina rabban a prosbul, lo shavik etera v'ochel isurin. Nobody would go and not write a prosbul and take back their loan and go and do an isser of this, not doing the hashmatuk sofim. So therefore, if a person has an easy way to go collect his loan, so we can believe him to say that I had a prosbul, but I lost it. And we go so far as to even ask him this. Kiyosu l'kami d'rav, when the people would come to Rav to go collect the loan after the Shemitah, he would ask them, Amalei, midei prosbul hayaloch v'yavad. They didn't have a prosbul, they didn't bring it, and they didn't think to say, I had a prosbul and lost it. So Rav went and asked them, did you have a prosbul and you lost it? And this is based upon the pasuk that we have in Mishlei Kegon Zeh, Pesach Picho Le'ilem, who, this is an idea that we have to go and help out the person that cannot speak. He's an Elam. So Rab would go and ask them, did you ever make a prosbul? And again, there's no reason to suspect them for lying because it's so easy to make a prosbul. And why would somebody try to collect the debt incorrectly against the halacha when there was such an easy way to collect the debt with the halacha? So he would ask them if they made a prosbul. If they made a prosbul, even though they didn't have it, he would accept it. We learned in another Mishnah, this one is from Ksubos, Tanan, V'chein bal chov, shemotzi shtar chov, v'eini mo prosbul, harei elu lo yifro. It said over there, the opposite. It said, if a bal chov comes to go collect the debt after the Shemitah year, and he doesn't have a prosbul, so then he's not allowed to go collect it. In other words, we don't assume that he has a prosbul against what we just said, against what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Nachman, and against what Rav did, halacha l'maisa. So Gemara says, you're right, this in fact is a machlokas tanoyim, tanoyi. That which Rav and Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Nachman said that you can assume that there's a prosbul. If he says there's a prosbul, you can assume there's a prosbul. That goes according to the following Tana, the Tanya. Hamotzi shtar chov sor she'imo prosbul. That goes like the Tanakama in this Mishnah. But then we have a second Tana, the Chachamim Amrim, which is how Rav Nachman and Rav Paskin, the Chalmim Eino Tzorach. No, if the person says he has a prosbul, we believe him because, again, why would a person shove a keteira v'ochel isura? Why would a person do something incorrectly when there's such an easy way to do it correctly? And if we believe him when he said, I did it correctly, I just don't have that document. Now we'll go to the next Mishnah. I'm going to have a little handout over here, which you can see in the upload over here on YU Torah, that you can see there's a handout called Gittin Lamed Zayin Omud Beis, which just makes it a little bit easier to follow the Gemara. The Mishnah starts and tells us, Eved Shenishba Upidau. If you have an Eved, now Rashi points out, we're dealing over here with an Eved Kanani, and throughout this discussion, it's always talking about an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is a person who has been tovold, l'shem, Eved Kanani, and therefore has all the mitzvos upon him like a woman has. He's mitzvos ke'isha. So an Eved, shenishba, an Eved was captured, upidau, and now somebody else redeemed him. What is the status of this Eved? Does he go back to his original Baal, or does he in fact go to the new person, the new Baal who redeemed him, or does he go free? So that's what the Mishnah is going to be discussing. So Eved, shenishba, upidau, you have an Eved that was captured by Goyim, and then he was redeemed by other Jews. So im lishum eved, if they redeemed him with the understanding that he would still be an eved, so then yishtabi, then he remains an eved. However, if lishum ben chorin, if they redeemed him, however, that he should become a ben chorin, so then lo yishtabi, then he doesn't become an eved. He now goes free. He is freed. And more we'll explain what exactly are the circumstances here, because some of you are already probably thinking in your mind, what will determine does he go and remain an eved or does he go free? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ben kach u ben kach, no matter whether they redeemed him to be a slave or whether they redeemed him to become a free person, doesn't make any difference. Ben kach u ben kach, yishtabit, he remains an eved. And again, the Gemara now will explain Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's shita. So Gemara starts off and says, "But my asking, what exactly are the circumstances of this case? If we're talking about that the original owner has not yet given up hope, in other words, he still believes he's going to get his eved back. There was no yeyush, so he hasn't given up hope, so he still is considered the owner of this eved kenani. So then, what difference does it make if the people who redeemed him l'shum chorin, l'shum ben chorin, am I lo yishtabit? So the original owner never gave up his expectation to get the slave back. So how does somebody else redeem him to go free? The original owner owns him. Ah, you're going to tell me, you're going to tell me that he was redeemed after the original owner ever gave up hope of getting him back, and therefore he's no longer considered the original owner because he was misyayesh. So then why should you redeem him? L'shum eved, am I yishtabit? The original owner gave up hope, so then why should he be an eved? He's no longer owned by the original person, so if he's redeemed, he should go free. So we have two possible answers to this, the answer of Abaye and the answer of Rava. And we'll have to explain the entire Mishnah according to Abaye, and we'll have to explain the entire Mishnah according to Rava, and that's what my handout basically does. He puts it into writing to make it a little bit easier to see. So we start off with Abaye. Abaye says, Li'olam lifne Yeyush. We're talking here that the original owner never gave up hope. It was before Yeyush. And Lishum Eved Yishtabed Lirabo Rishon. When the Mishnah said that if the redemption by the other people was Lishum Eved, so then the Rabo Rishon, who never gave up hope of getting him back, so he is the one who now owns the Eved. And the person who redeemed him has no rights to him because it's not his. The Eved is not his. And therefore, it belongs to the first Eved. That's when it was before the Yeyush. And the second person, the Jews who redeemed him, they were doing this l'shem eved, l'shum eved. So therefore, this eved goes back to Rabbo Rishon. And the Mishnah said, if the second person redeemed him, l'shum ben chorin, so then, lo yishtabe, lo l'rabbo Rishon, lo l'rabbo Sheni. This eved now goes free. He's not mishtabe, not to the first master, not to the second master. Why is that? First master is the original owner. The second master would be the person that redeemed him. Now, he doesn't go to Rabbo Sheni lo because the ha lushum ben chorin parke, because he specifically didn't redeem him to be an eved. He redeemed him to go free. So therefore, he goes free. Now, Tosus adds over here, you could have said, in addition, he still belongs to the Rabbo Rishon because this is before Yeyush. Tosus says he didn't have to say that. He just gave us one reason. That he doesn't go to the Rabbo Sheni because he didn't redeem him to be an Eved. He redeemed him L'shum ben Chorin. Why doesn't he go back to the Rabbo Rishon? It's before Yeyush. The Rabbo Rishon Namilo. Because if we let him go back to the Rabbo Rishon, then there's going to be a problem. Dilma mimane v'lo parke. If the second person who redeems him has to give him back to the Rabbo Rishon, so then he's going to say, why bother redeeming him? Let him go redeem him. And he's not going to go redeem him. And according to Abaye, there is a mitzvah to go and redeem over here under all circumstances. And therefore, if we allowed him to go back to the Rabbo Rishon, so then it's going to be a problem. He won't go and redeem him. Now, along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to Abaye, and says, ben kach u ben kach yishtabi. No, he is mishtabi, because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, kusavar, kishem shemitzol liftos es b'nei chorin, kach mitzol liftos es avad. He says, no, he will do this redemption no matter what. We don't have to be concerned that if you say he goes back to the first rabbo, that he won't redeem him, because it's a mitzvah to go redeem him. So he's not concerned with the Tanakama's suggestion that we don't let him go back to the Rabbo Rishon because then he won't redeem him. No, there's a mitzvah to go redeem him. And therefore, you bring him back to the Rabbo Rishon because this is before Yeyush. And even though he said he's doing it L'shum Ben Chorin, he doesn't have the right to do it L'shum Ben Chorin. And since there's a mitzvah to redeem him, even if he's an Eved, so therefore, even if you're doing it L'shum Avdus, so there's a mitzvah to go and redeem him. And in fact, if he redeemed him to go free, so then why should the Rabbo Rishon lose out on this over here? It will not prevent it from doing any future redemptions because there's a mitzvah to go do this. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, ben kach u ben kach, whether he did it l'shum eved, then he certainly goes back to Rabbo Rishon. And even if he did l'shum bechorim, he still goes back to Rabbo Rishon because there's a mitzvah to be podeh, bein whether he's an eved or bein whether he's going to go free. That's Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. Rava understands that it's talking about after Yeush. Rava Marli Olam Acha Yeush. We're dealing over here with after Yeush, and therefore the Rabbo Rishon has given up hope. And therefore, when he redeems him, Ulushum Eved Yishtabed L'Rabbo, it means L'Rabbo Sheni. Ulushum Eved Yishtabed L'Rabbo Sheni, because the first owner has given up hope. So therefore, if he redeems him, Ulushum Eved, so then he goes to Rabbo Sheni, as you can see on my sheet, because the Rabbo Rishon gave up any hope. If he did it, Lushum Ben Chorin, so then, Lo Yishtabed Lo L'Rabbo Rishon, V'Lo L'Rabbo Sheni. The Tanakhama of the Mishnah says, it doesn't go back to either one. Why does he go to Rabbo Sheni? Because Rabbo Sheni lo, the whole Lushun ben Chorin parki, because he freed him to be a free man. So of course he doesn't get owned by the second person, by the Redeemer. Rabbo Rishon nami lo, because this is after Yeush. The whole Yacha Yeush habit, and therefore he doesn't go back. So that's Rava's understanding, and he explains Rav Shimon Gamliel in the following way. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, ben kach yishtabi. No, he has to be a slave no matter what, because kedechizkiya, it goes in accord with what Chizkiya said. What did Chizkiya say? That mechizkiya, mipnei ma'amru, ben kach yishtabi. Why did Rav Shimon Gamliel say that under any circumstance, whether he redeemed him, l'shem ados or l'shem cheiros, he still becomes an eved, he retains his status as an eved, shlo yei kolecha v'yechad, holecha ma'apel asmu l'gayosos, umafkiya atzmu miyad rabo. Because any slave that doesn't like his Rebbe is going to let himself get captured. He's going to walk around the marketplace and say, hey, I'm a slave, go capture me. And he's going to go up to the bad neighborhoods and the robber's going to kidnap him. And therefore, to prevent this, we say that even in this situation, if he gets redeemed, the Shul Mecheiros, he still nevertheless goes back to Rabbo Rishon under all circumstances. Now, the Gemara questions what Rava just said. Meisvei, look at the language. The language of the Mishnah was Kishem Shemitzel Lutos is Ben Chorin, Kach Mitzel Lutos is Avadim. That only works out according to Abaye, as we just said. Mishlom Abaye Dom of the Yeush, that we're talking here before the Yeush, so we understand. Hainu the Kamar, Kishem, just like there's a Mitzel to be pulled to the Ben Chorin, there's a Mitzel to be pulled to the Avadim. And everything worked out, like we said, according to Abaye. Perfectly good. We understand why the Mishnah says Kishem. So then, hi Kishem, Mishum Dechizkiyahu. But look at the language that Rav explained. It was only because of Chizkiyah. It wasn't because of this Kishem, like there's a mitzvah to go and be pulled the Eved Lechayrus, so there's a mitzvah to be pulled the Avadim. So the language of the Mishnah doesn't make sense according to your Rav. So how does Rav explain this? Amalach Rav, Rav would explain. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lova Yoda, my Kamer Rabban. Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying, I don't know if you're talking here before Yeush or you're talking after Yeush. So therefore, I'll respond in both ways. I'll respond according to Abaye with the statement, Mishum, Kach, just like Kishem Shemitzvah, Liftos is Bechorin, Kach Mishum, Kach Mitzvah, Liftos is Avadim, in case the answer is like Abaye. But I'll also answer Kiddechizkia, in case the answer is like Rav, they were talking about after Yeush. So Rav Shimon Gamliel was taking no chances. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, I don't know what you're talking about. It was before Yeush or after Yeush. Therefore, he responded both ways. He said, if you're saying like Abaye that it's dealing back that the first owner has not given up hope yet, so then, that's why I had to say, but if you want to tell me it's like Rava, then it's after Yeush, so then, then it's like Chizkia that you have to return him to the Rabbo Rishon in order to prevent him from, you know, trying his luck, so to say, to constantly escape from this bad owner. Gemara continues and asks, according to Rava, the Amar Liacha Yeush, or the Rabbo Sheni, that says that the entire Mishnah is talking about after Yeush, and therefore the first Rabbo, his first master, has given up hope, and the Eved now goes to the second master. So Rabbo Sheni, Iman Konile, how did the Rabbo Sheni acquire this? After all, you're telling me he required it from the person who captured this Eved, Mishabai? Shabai Gufe, Mi Konile, how did the captors go and acquire this slave? Shmuel answers, yeah, from the captors. In the captives were able to acquire this Eved, this Eved Kenani, for Maisa Yodav. Because this is based upon what Rish Lakish said. Rish Lakish, and Ovid Kochavim can acquire another Ovid Kochavim in regards to Maisa Yodav, because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Vegam Yibnei HaToshavim HaGorim Imochem, Mehem Tiknu. The Jewish people can go and acquire such Avodim. Atem Konim Mehem. You can acquire them as Avodim. We turn to Lama Chesam and Aleph. But the Lohem Konim Mikem. But the implication is that they cannot acquire you, a Yid, as an Eved. And likewise, Lohem Konim Zemizeh. And they can't acquire each other as an Eved. Bar says, Rish Lakish says further, Yochol Lo Yiknu Zeh Zeh. You might have thought that they're not able to acquire one from the other. Bar says, that's what we just said. You can. Yochol Lo Yiknu Zeh Zeh. You just said, Amos Lohem Konim Zemizeh. So what do you mean? You might have thought that they can't, but they can. You just point out they can't. So it says, this is what it's saying. They can't acquire the actual guf. However, Yochol, they can acquire, Lo Yiknu Zeh Zeh L'Maisa Yadav. You might have thought that they can't acquire from Maisa Yadav, but that they can. They can acquire each other from Maisa Yadav. Now, this is a Kal V'Chomer. Amar is Kal V'Chomer, because Ovei Kochavim Yisrael Koneh, Ovei Kochavim Lo Kol Shekein. If an Ovei Kochavim can actually acquire a Yid for the Maisa Yadav, so certainly he should be able to acquire a guy for the Maisa Yadav. So Gemara says, no, maybe the Eimah Hanimila B'Kasu, that's only if they acquire them with money, they purchase them. Avu Chazak Lo, by capturing them, maybe not. So Amar Rapapa says, no, Amun Moav Tiru B'Sichon. We see that from Amun Moav that they were captured by Sichon, and then Chayso was able to get them back, because we weren't allowed to start off with Amun Moav, but we could start off with Sichon. So you see that Sichon was able to accomplish this acquisition, so therefore they can accomplish such an acquisition. So it says, okay, Ashkelon, Ovei Kochavim, Ovei Kochavim. Yeah, you see, an Ovei Kochavim can acquire another Ovei Kochavim. However, Ovei Kochavim Yisrael Minolan, where do we see that an Ovei Kochavim can acquire a Yid? So there we have a pasuk as well. Dechsev, Vayesh Mimenu Shevi. So therefore, we see over here that they're even able to go and capture a Yid in this sense for Maisei Yadav. So therefore, there isn't a problem, and that's how the Rabbo Sheni is able to go and acquire the captive from the Shabbai. This is a long share. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's share, and have a great day.